Now a brand new BBC One drama, the follow-up to Life on Mars. Ashes to Ashes has familiar faces, but the world is a very different place, and there's some strong language.
In the city of London, Philip Glenister, Keely Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, and Montserrat Lombard. Co-created by Ashley Farrow, co-created and written by Matthew Graham. As a building passes overhead, its shadow creates an all-encompassing darkness. From out of the black, the words, "Ashes to Ashes," appear in white. In modern-day London.
My name is Sam Tyler. I had an accident and I woke up in 1973. Was I mad, in a coma, or back in time? Whatever had happened, it was like I'd landed on a different planet. If I could figure out why I was here, then maybe I could get back home.
Yeah, whatever. That is so lame.
Okay, return the classified document, thank you. What did Evan get you for your birthday, Miles?
A BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah? I'll get you some more while you're at school and you can make a birthday crumble. Did your dad manage to...
No, he's in Canada with Judy. So this guy, Taylor.
Tyler. He died April last year.
Schizo? Delusional? What's the German one? Is he going in the book?
Oh, DCI Tyler's getting a book all to himself.
Charlie 75 to DI Drake.
Roger that.
South Bank outside Tate Modern. Gunman has taken female hostage. Trojan units are assigned.
Shit.
Over.
Pass me the thing. Miles, pass me. Pass me. Okay, hold on.
As the car corners, a police photograph of Sam Tyler falls to the floor, stamped with the word suicide.
Okay, now stay put, sweetheart.
Mom, don't go.
Alex Drake leaves her daughter in the car.
Start talking, Sergeant.
IC1 male, Arthur Layton. He may be under the influence of drugs. He's taken a busker hostage. Frankly, he might do anything, Mum.
Okay, I'm taking my daughter to school. She's in the damn car with me. You can't seriously expect
me to... He asked me by name, Mum.
What?
He says he'll shoot her if you won't talk to him.
She looks at Arthur and the hostage.
Armed response?
On their way.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Stand back.
She goes towards them.
You stop there!
You asked to speak to me, Arthur. I'm D.I. Alex Drake.
I know who you are. You stop staring at me, I don't like it!
Okay, I'll avert my eyes. And if you let this young lady go, we can discuss...
Discuss what? No, I'll kill her! Yeah, and I'll kill you! Do you understand? Come here. Come on. Now, get over here! Now!
Arthur lets the hostage go and points his gun at Alex.
Hold your fire. Hostage negotiator approaching subject. I repeat, hold your fire.
I help people, Arthur. I help people who are trapped. I help them to find an escape route.
You stop looking at me. I don't like it. Yeah, I see you. I see you. This is my show, you understand?
Alex's daughter watches from behind the police barrier.
I knew you when you were a little girl. You got your mother's eyes, Alex.
Sorry,
I'm happy. Hope you're happy too. Yeah, I'm happy. Hope you're happy too.
What?
He grabs Alex's daughter.
Down them steps. Get down them steps! Stupid little girl.
Alex runs down to the riverbank. Her daughter walks out from under the steps.
Molly! Mum!
Mother and daughter hug. Later.
Your godfather's going to take you home, Molly. I've got a stack of reports and I'm... Oh, Moles, come here. Come here.
You could have got killed in front of me.
Molly, I told you to stay in the car. You know, it's a hard, screwed-up world, you know. But if you trust me, I can try to help you get through it.
Evan!
Molly runs off towards a smartly dressed man. He mouths the question, "You okay?" to Alex, who responds with a nod.
It's all right, Scrap. We'll say we get you a cake, a seriously chocolatey one. And then I can pretend I know something about Shakira, and you can take the piss out of me.
Molly! We'll blow the candles out together, okay?
Okay.
Come on, Scrap.
Alex's dark hair hangs limply across her exhausted and emotional face. She blows a kiss to Molly. Back in Alex's car. She looks over her shoulder to reverse.
Oh, God!
It's Arthur.
Relax, Alex. Just drive.
How do you know me? What do you want?
Shut up! Now you... You're gonna be my ticket out of this mess, Alex, straight. Yeah? Move!
He leads Alex onto a pier.
Yeah, Layton. Yeah, well, you're gonna have to listen. Because I've got a piece of your past standing right here in front of me. Tim and Caroline Price's daughter.
How did you know my parents?
And I'm gonna tell her the truth. Why her parents died.
Go!
They board a moored boat in the Docklands, opposite the Millennium Dome.
Well, that's your choice.
Arthur emerges from the darkness.
What can my parents possibly have to do with any of this? I mean, they've been dead a long time.
I had an empire back in the day. I had connections. I had dealers on every street corner.
And things went wrong. I mean, do you want to talk about that? You feel trapped. I mean, I can understand that. Those officers were itching for a fatality outcome.
She falls backwards as the bullet hits her, her face grey and motionless, her eyes closed.
Mummy? Mummy!
The bullet is sucked backwards through a cloud of smoke into the barrel of Arthur's gun. Light streaks past. Old home movies play of a man and woman. A girl releases a red balloon and it floats off as though speeded up on a videotape. A sad, clown-like Pierrot reaches out. The Pierrot's face is reflected in Arthur's sunglasses. Then, as he fires the gun, its face appears on the end of the bullet.
Alex!
Alex's eyes, now covered in mascara and eyeshadow, suddenly open. She's wearing a white fur jacket, a low-cut red dress, and an extravagant necklace. Her hair's held up in a perm, and her face She rises from where she was lying and finds herself on board a boat called the Lady Di. A man in a cream suit, sleeves rolled up to the elbows, drinking an emerald green cocktail, gives her a confused look. Another man with a high-rolled fringe is drinking beside a woman in a big fur coat. Another shows her his chunky personal stereo. Alex attempts to push through the crowd of revelers. Some men start to leer and wink at her. She steps off the boat and runs along the pier it's moored to. Police officers run past her.
Excuse me. Help me, I've been shot! Help me! Help me, I've been shot! Oh, God!
The police ignore Alex and raid the boat.
My God.
It's moored at the same place where Alex was shot, but the Millennium Dome is no longer there, and the wall at the end of the pier is plastered in posters of adamant. She catches her reflection in a puddle on the ground and notices for the first time what she's wearing. She has red stilettos on and black stockings, which lead up to an incredibly short, tight red dress. She clutches a black crocodile skin handbag by its pearl strap and runs her fingers over her white fur jacket up to her curly, dark hair.
Come here!
It was you!
You little slut! Come here, you stupid tart! You called the police! Come here, we've been busted! You called him in, you evil bitch! You did, didn't you?
What?
Yes.
What?
Oh, you're gonna regret this, sweet cheeks.
A racing red coupe roars down the road, quivering in a heat haze. Alex breathlessly watches as the car weaves in and out of barrels and debris. It arcs aggressively, spewing up dust, and skids to a halt, framed between the silhouette of Alex's shaky legs. Out from the car steps June Hunt, in snakeskin cowboy boots, black suit, and grey tie.
Today, my friend, your diary entry will read, took a prosy hostage and was shot by three armed bastards.
The man grabs Alex.
Don't let this get out of control.
Go, he could have a gun.
Okay, think. You have to be smart.
Don't upset him, love. This is one bloke you don't want letting his load off.
If you choose a path of destruction driven by illogical pride and delusional self-importance, you'll enjoy only a fleeting sense of power before being shot and killed.
Is it me or are Tom's getting smart?
A fatality outcome is what these officers are after.
Oh, you're right. Don't shoot, officers. See? Completely unarmed.
You're going down, you scum.
This won't amount to a hill of beans, Mr. Hunt.
Hunt.
Blimey. That skirt was itched any eye and I could see what I had for breakfast. Now, Ray, cuff this Nancy Bird. Chris, look after the lady. Classiest pro I've seen all week.
Do you see Chris Skelton?
Roger that.
DS Ray Carling.
She looks overwhelmed.
Gina.
Jean stands proudly. Alex stares open mouthed and then faints.
My reputation precedes me.
Behind a curtain of water, a ghostly face of a woman appears, then melts away. Molly's face briefly emerges, then fades. Alex is unconscious in Jean's car.
You wouldn't get much change out of a tenner for this one, Ray.
Definitely you've heard a tenner. Cracking pair of puppies.
Alex wakes. They're parked outside a police station.
Okay, fellas. This is a subconscious construct induced by severe cranial trauma.
Fascist pig!
We only need a statement, love. And you.
My God. I can hear the wind in the trees.
It's truth. She's going to break into song.
This is a full sensory hallucination. My God.
Ooh, I don't know. Look at the way she's touching that car.
No. This happened to him. It can't happen to me.
You all right, darling?
Molly, she needs me.
Jean grabs her.
Bloody hell, do you think you're playing it? Do you have any idea what the paperwork's like on suicides?
Get off me.
Shut up.
No, not in there. Don't take me in there.
In the station.
Jim, take statements off these old Detroit tufters.
Yes, boss.
Jean carries Alex through the dingy corridors of the station into a large room where he drops her onto her feet. She stands in the center of the room as male police officers and detectives gather round to gawp. She spins round, staring at the chessboard patterned ceiling, then at the men in the room, who eye her up and down with bemused expressions. She loses her balance and stumbles before steadying herself. Then, with a look of determination, she walks into an enclosed office in the centre of the room.
Hey. You know, I don't normally let prozzies into my office, unless it's a party.
It's July 1981. It's the year my mum and dad died.
What of? Confusion?
She's using his PC.
Don't pretend you know how to fly that thing.
There's nothing on this hard drive but the time and date.
Pong! I got Pong!
Dove, I... Mary Magdalene, you all right? Here you go.
Tab! Don't be ridiculous, Granger. Look at her. Airs and graces, this one. Likes to drop a bolly before she gets her knickers off. Back to your desk.
Come on. I know how this works. I know how this works. The mind fashions conduits to the real world.
She gets the phone.
Hello. Hello. I need to find out if I'm in hospital. I need to find out if Molly knows where I am.
Right. Enough of this. I need
no.
a bloody statement from you.
She sees a D.I. Drake name badge on a desk and gets down onto her knees to read it.
Oh, God. I love Tom's.
Right, enough. Get up.
Her head was suggestively positioned over Jean's groin. He picks up her wallet, reads it, then hands it to her with a stern look upon his face.
Right, well, as you know, we've all been waiting on a new DI, Alex Drake.
Oh, is he here? Hey, what's that hooker doing with her?
She holds out her police badge.
Welcome on board, Inspector.
I knew an Asian prozzy once. Could do amazing things with a ping pong ball. No surprise, really, is it? Chinese are good at table tennis, aren't they? Hey, why's this tart got a warrant card?
I'm a little teapot short and stout.
Oh, God. Come on, Zippy, talk to me.
Don't want anyone filling in their arrest diaries. Got it?
Ain't done with diaries since last week, Gov.
Good. I'll fill it in for you just as soon as I decided what you were doing. At the start of the hearing, Lord, and what were you doing in that brothel? Undercover? Or moonlighting?
Let's assume the former, shall we?
Second, we'll focus on the policing of multiracial areas like Brixton.
There is official... Never anything on.
The public hate you.
They hate us, Inspector. Do you want a brew?
Just run along, Jean, and do whatever it is that subconscious recessional forms do.
Don't waggle your fingers when you say my name.
Sam got voices out of the telly.
Sam?
Tyler, I knew him.
Poor sod. Explains a lot.
Good God. I've assimilated his fantasies. What are you doing down here anyway?
Transferred from GMP a year ago. I've moved on. Besides, scum is scum wherever you go.
And why am I here?
You put in for it.
This catches her attention, and she studies Jean from across the room.
You're taller than I imagined.
I'm bigger in every department. Twatting the cells is Edward Markham, City Trading Ponce, heads up a drug dealership. You want to sit in? Feel good, does it? Making money out of honest working class kids, turning them into ghosts and rent boys.
Firstly, Mr. Hunt, you have absolutely no evidence. Secondly, and according to this senior female officer, Mirabile Dictu, you were deliberately looking for a... What was it? Yeah. Fatality outcome. Blowing my head off. Ipso facto, my case rests.
That's crap. And some of it was in Klingon. If we actually wanted to murder you, we'd come round your house in the middle of the night and...
Take no notice of my sergeant. He's very upset. His mother's ill in hospital.
Yeah, I'm... God, I hope she pulls through.
Yeah, bet you do.
For the record, he will retract that remark. Cocaine and heroin are flooding into this city, and you, my friend, are behind it.
You're living in a fantasy world, Mr. Hunt.
Why do they keep the most advanced radio in this station?
In a dark storeroom.
Wait for it.
Lights turn on.
Oh, God.
It's like tomorrow's world, isn't it, boss? But, ma'am.
I need to know what's going on out there, Chris. I'm unconscious. And I need reviving.
Yeah. I get that at weekends.
Yeah, but I'm convinced that this Markham... Yeah, all I ask, sir, is that Markham... Sir, with respect, there was never any question of one of my officers shooting an unarmed man. Yes, these are difficult times, and I am just trying to do my job, sir. Goodbye.
Granger has a personal stereo.
It sold me and nabbed it off that drug dealer we nicked in the whorehouse.
That's so sweet.
I could have sworn that was mine.
Well, you're mistaken, sir.
You know, Mr. Hunt, in the city, we're always looking for a good investment, like the chap who invented the Walkman. You have to know when there's a new market ready to explode. That's my job. I see an exciting new product and... It's all about the future. And you know what? Don't think the future includes you.
Jean scowls as Markham smugly walks away.
It would have been a sound nick if it hadn't been for a fatality outcome. Christ.
Got a good pair of honkers on her, that.
Women DI should look like a cross between Betty Turpin and the HMS Ark Royal. They should not look shagworthy. Give a person who gets periods that much responsibility.
Too right.
Granger looks outraged.
Talk to me, somebody!
Alex is desperately bashing radio equipment.
What's so special about you, Jean? When good coppers go under, why do you appear?
It's my aftershave, and stop wiggling your bloody fingers every time you say my name. And we've got the makings of a drug epidemic in this city. I had the chief supplier in my sights, and you gave him room to slide loose.
Markham, he's not your kingpin. God, any cursory psyche assessment would show that he doesn't possess delegational inclinations.
Sorry, come again. I don't speak Hindustani.
Top flight crime lords expect their minions to do their donkey work. They expend their energy only when it's absolutely necessary. Crime lords don't gloat in police stations, Jean. They don't spend money on expensive lawyers and then do all the talking themselves. And they are not out to impress northern flatfoots like you.
Is this la-di-da posh bollocks meant to impress me?
Just look at me. Look at me. I am trained to get inside the criminal mind, and now I'm stuck in my own with you! Whoopee!
Are you laughing at me?
No. No, I just never thought it would seem this real. Sam always said what amazed him most about this place was... Look at you.
She places her hand upon Jean's chest.
It's beating. That's incredible.
Fan-dabby-dozy. Now then, Bollinger knickers, you're gonna kiss me or punch me?
She slaps Jean's hand away from her breast and shoots him a cold look of disgust, then walks across to a pile of videotapes, one of which is labelled Arthur Layton. She inserts the tape into a VCR.
Arthur Layton's a tinker with a minor record. We flipped him over, he keeps his eyes open. We don't bang him up.
He has to be crucial to this. Otherwise, why is he in here?
She pauses the tape on an image of Layton, who has a picture of a red-haired person on his chest. Later, Alex is struggling with a headache in front of Chris and Granger.
Foss? I mean, Mom?
Right. Let's break it down. Now, I was shot. The result of that act was my arrival in this dystopia.
Dystopia? I heard that once. I couldn't eat solids for a week.
Oh, baby.
My mind creates a dark, twisted place for me to go to. My brain is in severe trauma, and so will not expend energy creating people that I don't need. Therefore, everything here is significant.
She scribbles notes onto a whiteboard.
Now, I'm an empirical person. I break everything down and I study it. That's how I solve problems.
So your head has made up a puzzle for you to solve, because that's the best way.
Because that is the way that I will get strong. I must constantly analyse.
Analyse what? Why you were shot?
The moment it happened, I saw the bullet and I thought, this is it. Alex, this is how it ends.
Like this was your destiny?
Like Ben Kenobi in Star Wars.
Now, where does that leave me?
The first letters of each word spells dead down the board. The bullet fires from Leighton's gun and Alex becomes woozy.
What? No?
No.
The Piro and the word destiny flash up.
Hope you're happy. Hope you're happy.
Molly.
Hello?
You're under arrest. Who are you, then?
It's all right, Zippy. Molly's my new friend.
Poor old Molly. She must be very hard up for friends.
I'm looking for my mum.
Well, I haven't seen her.
But it's my birthday. We have a cake and presents, and I'm waiting for her to come.
Ooh, but she must be so far away, Molly. So far that you couldn't even see her through the biggest, giantest telescope in the whole world.
Yes, yes. That's right, George. Forget your mum, Molly. She's never coming back.
Alex awakens with a fright on a zebra-striped sofa. A vinyl record is playing in the unfamiliar apartment. She wanders about in a daze.
Alex.
She's drowsy.
Mummy. You're going to miss my birthday.
Wearing a black suit jacket, she stumbles into a bedroom and approaches a white wardrobe. She opens the door.
All my birthdays.
The Piro leapt from the wardrobe, waking her with a jump. She's laying on the bed, wearing the same black suit jacket over her red dress, with the same white wardrobe in the corner. She approaches the wardrobe and opens it. This time, there's nothing inside but five different coloured shirts. Back at the police station.
Morning, ma'am. Do you like the flat? Luigi likes to use it.
WPC Granger.
Hey.
Is she? Isn't she?
She most definitely is. WPC Granger, can
call
you...
Call me Shaz.
Yeah, can you get
or
me...
Or Shazza.
Shaz, can you get me a change of clothes, please? I would like to change out of red before Christopher writes a song about me. Chris, get me your intelligence on Arthur Leighton. Addresses, contacts, past offences.
Roger that.
Jean stands.
I know what you're doing.
Really? Whatever.
What? New broom swings in.
Sweeps in.
Comes in. Looking to make a quick collar, trying to impress the troops.
I know he doesn't look like much, but Leighton is behind this, because that is why I'm here.
Let me show you something.
A map.
We have monitored the drugs traffic across the division. Movement, deals, payments, everything. The centre is here, the financial district. Now, Markham is a right banker. He knows how to hide the drug money in any number of accounts.
We're on the verge of a major bust, man. Like the Operation Popper.
Here you go, boss.
Ma'am,
Arthur Leighton. This is his business in Shadwell. And past convictions for fencing stolen gear.
Look at your map, Hunt. It's a web. The thing is, the spider isn't sitting in the middle.
He's hiding on the edge.
Alex and Chris walk past some railway arches.
That's right. Leighton's just a down-at-heels fella scratching a living together.
No. No, he becomes that. One day. But not now. Trust me.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but the Gov, he thinks you're trying to undermine us.
Look,
like...
all right, just relax, OK? Chris, I know how this goes. Hunt's the bullish one, raise the misogynistic one, and you're the nervous one, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I am going to stop Arthur Leighton because that could be the mental trigger to get me out of here, OK?
Roger that. I'm not nervous, I'm just cautious.
Hello?
Leighton emerges from his grimy little office.
Mr. Leighton? Police?
Can I help you?
She sees the bullet.
You're under arrest!
Arrest? What for? I've got receipts for all this stuff.
I'm stopping you. I know you.
What are you talking about?
Chris Coffin!
Alex trembles with fear and anger as Chris cuffs him.
Don't look at me like that. Don't like it.
The interrogation room.
You have a network of drug dealers and money launderers under your control, including Edward Markham.
No, I'm a barrow boy with a junk shop. You know that.
You're under arrest and you are staying here.
As much as it pains me, I think we may need something that can stick in court. Your staying here probably won't do it. Mr. Leighton, do you have an appointed brief?
No, I'll have to get one.
Oh, that's right. That's right, you let others handle it. The strategy of a powerful man with nothing to prove.
A powerful man would bring his brief in here with him.
Gov, we've had a breakthrough.
Right. Leighton, off you go.
Thank you.
A ghostly image of the Pierrot was reflected in the table. As Leighton leaves, he looks back at Alex.
We put the crime squad onto Markham, like you said. He made 9 separate phone calls from phone boxes in the City District. All phone cards.
Phone cards? Flash git.
Yeah. He then went and picked up a message from some railway archers near Tower Bridge. Something got him rattled.
I know what got Markham rattled. We pulled his boss in. He was checking to see if he could close the supply line down.
They ignore her.
Leighton is a control freak. Being in the driving seat is essential to his emotional well-being.
Where do you learn this hippie shit?
Langley.
Near Macclesfield?
Virginia. Secondment to the CIA.
Here you go, ma'am. Fresh clothes like you wanted.
Thank you, Shaz.
Got my lady was killed by Timothy White's van.
Oh, that's brilliant. Bring Markham in again. Shake the web. Leighton will hate that.
Psychiatry.
Psychology.
Same thing. Still, not a bad idea for a bird. Boys and girls, it is precisely 12 o'clock. By 12:30, I want Markham and his suspected accomplices in custody. Mush.
Later.
2 arrests in 2 days. I've almost certainly lost my job at the bank.
Oh, bugger. Still, you're a smart boy. You get another job. I'll see you get arrested there and all. You'll be unemployable, Markham.
Right then. Time to talk turkey.
Gobble away.
Oh, that's very good, Mr. Hunt. Oh, Mr. Hunt. No. Just you.
Outside the interrogation room, Alex and Ray are talking.
You knew Tyler, didn't you?
Yes. I write about colleagues who've undergone unusual trauma, and I know he let you down.
I thought he was going to run out on us. But he came back. I'll give him that.
Sam came back?
Lucky us, eh?
Well, where is he?
Tyler died during a jewellery blag last year. I told him to wait for the Gov, but he wasn't having it. He gave chase. Put his car in the river. Twonk. Never even found his body.
Oh my God. He was here for 7 years. He lived a life here, and in reality, he was seconds away from death.
What?
Then
My theory's right. In real life, I might only have been shot a second ago.
Look, Tyler didn't listen to the Gov, and look what happened to him. If you're smart, you'll learn that being where the Gov is the right place to be.
Markham walks out, looking satisfied.
Thank you, Mr. Hunt. Ladies.
Alex and Ray wait to hear Jean's explanation.
He's given us the old network. Suppliers, dealers, drop-offs. Turn a blind eye to one last deal. And we run him out of town. Forever.
Mm. You let Markham off. That's just plain wrong, Jean.
Spot a lunch?
Lunch.
Lunch? It's gone six.
Lunchtime.
A fierce determination spreads across her face as she contemplates her situation. Alex gets up from her seat and storms out. Later, she bursts into Leighton's junk shop with a nervous anger.
Leighton! I'm gonna stop you!
You bastard.
She slowly walks through the building. She's oblivious to the statue-like Pierrot standing behind some shelves as she creeps into Leighton's office. She starts to rifle through his paperwork when the Pierrot silently walks across the room behind her. She stops and glances around, but there's nothing there. She grabs a notepad and makes a hasty exit. Outside, she stops in an alleyway to read what she's just taken, then glances to her left. The Pierrot's standing at the end of the alleyway, his head turned to one side. Suddenly, his head moves to face Alex, and he lunges into a sprint. Alex turns to run away, but the mime charges at her with relentless force. He vanishes.
What's the matter, you? Hey, God, no respect. What do you think you do? Hey, why you look so sad? It's a not so bad. It's a nicer place.
Ah, shut up your face.
Molto divertente, very funny.
Jean sits in the corner, unimpressed by Chris's singing. Then Alex drifts in through the front door. She's wearing a bright white jacket and blue top. Her makeup is more tasteful, her jewellery less imposing. Ray looks her up and down as she glides across the room. Jean watches her closely, rises from his seat and pours her a drink.
On the house.
Cheers.
She downs the glass of wine in one gulp.
Luigi, another bottle of your house rubbish. Hey! I love lunch.
You know, I invented this world.
I invented something once. A bruise-free groin slap.
Sam died. Your wife left you. No wonder you moved.
Do you not start with me. I'm the Manx lion. It says on my door.
Pasta. Nice one, Luigi. Hey, keep the asti spumante going.
Spumante.
Hey, Luigi. What's the shortest...
Well, you're not going to keep me here for 7 years. I'm going home. I'm going to my little girl's birthday party.
You're pissed.
And you are a bloody figment.
You're very pissed.
I'm going to be sick.
Doesn't surprise me.
In Luigi's apartment...
Let me do this on my own.
That's always more fun with two.
I don't need your help.
Everyone does. No. The sharpening the axe. For coppers like me. And I'll tell you this much, Bowles. Up until the last second, I will be out there making a difference.
I already don't want to be sick.
Okay, Jean takes the notepad out of her jeans pocket.
What's this?
It's Leighton's. From the junkyard.
Jean roughly places a blanket over Alex, who's passed out on the zebra-striped sofa. Back in the restaurant beneath Luigi's apartment, Chris is singing softly to Shaz and making her laugh.
Amanda, what do you make of these numbers?
Flight numbers? Codes?
What about this here? Charlie.
That's what they call cocaine.
Oh, and there's me thinking it was bloody perfume. Chris, turn it down. Let the lady sleep.
Dio ti benedica, grazie, signore Hunt.
Gracias, Luigi. Gracias.
That is a Spanish joke.
Luigi, get yourself a drink.
No, signore Hunt. I go upstairs to shoot myself.
Good man.
Gracias. Gracias.
Ollie, go and get back in your own bed. Go on, sweetheart. Mills.
As Alex sleeps, Molly climbs out from under the blanket.
Molly!
Alex wakes with a shock, but Molly isn't in the apartment. She holds her head in distress.
You wait for me, Molly. I need a plan to trap Leighton.
Shaz and Chris.
I should be in uniform.
No, you're with me. You're undercover.
Undercover? On a secret operation? Pretty blooming glamorous, isn't it, your life?
Oh, aye, yeah.
Chris, are you in position?
Roger that, ma'am. You said you'd square this with the Gov over brekkie.
Chris, there's no time for that. I have to nail Leighton now. Look, Crime Squad
gave us the drop-off point for Markham's messages. Are you at it?
Yeah.
OK, message in place.
Shaz has just set it up.
Look, if Markham takes the bait...
He'll read the fake message to meet at Leighton's place, and we follow him.
That will prove Markham works for Leighton and we have reasonable connection. We arrest...
Leighton and I go home.
Roger that, ma'am. I need a Jimmy Riddle.
Chris gets out to go to the toilet and runs up a flight of steps. Shaz waits in the car and puts on the personal stereo. She's oblivious to Markham walking up to the car window.
I think you'll find that Walkman is mine. I'll teach Hunt to go back on his word. Hold on to her.
Shazza! Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut your mouth. This is the police, Markham. Nobody move. Stay there.
Chris punches the huge guy's stomach, but the man doesn't even flinch.
Chris!
I spoil your little plan. With little secret notes, your special little meeting points. Is this some feeble idea of entrapment? You are a plumper. What I need is some corporate insurance just to make sure the deal runs smoothly. Put her in the car. Come here with me.
Gotta
just take me! Oh, you shut up.
Markham kicks Chris, then drives off with Shaz.
Shazza.
Chris! I can't do this on my own.
Is every radio in this place knackered? They've taken me. Ooh, Shaz, they've taken Shaz, Markham and some big bastards and he's still out there.
Viv, mobilise all units in the area. Chris, give us a description of the vehicle.
She dies. It's all your fault, man.
I wasn't the one who did the deal with the devil, Chris.
Look, how do we stop them?
They all look to Jean's office. The door opens and Jean walks out in a black overcoat, black shirt and black gloves.
Right. Let's fire up the quattro.
The fiery red coupe rockets through a tunnel at blistering speed.
Dub, we just had confirmation. The car registration that Chris gave us. It's in Layton's name.
Viv, give me everything you've got on Arthur Layton.
There isn't much, Gov. Just some surveillance.
Some at his yard, some at the docks.
He keeps boats.
What's the name of his boat?
It looks like the Prince Charlie, Gov.
Charlie. Those times in the diary are tight times. Layton shipping in the drugs on one of his own boats. Raimondo, round up the cavalry. We're heading to the river. Tower Bridge.
Oh, I can kiss you.
Don't hold back.
Two police cars and the coupe speed into the Docklands, churning up a dust storm. Chris and Ray get out and cock their weapons. Jean takes a look at Alex leaning on his car in her white leather jacket and sunglasses, holding a handgun.
What?
You, in leather, holding that gives me the horn. Right, three units. I'll lead the first unit. Hopefully, we'll flush them into the arms of the second unit, led by my esteemed lady colleague here. Uniform, you can mop up.
Switch teams which?
Uniform, your C team. D.I. Drake, you lead the B team. I'm the A team.
God have mercy.
The three teams move off in different directions. Jean leans around a wall, pointing his massive revolver into the sky. He spies Markham and his cronies across the water.
Go.
Chris hands him a pair of binoculars. Jean gets a closer look at Markham, taking a small white package out of a wooden crate. Alex's team slowly moves into position.
Radio silence, everyone.
Alex looks through her binoculars at Markham's meeting, then scans right to a green car pulling up. Markham approaches the vehicle and hands one of the small white packages to someone in the back seat and leans in for a conversation. Alex watches as a man steps out of the car. It's Layton.
I need Layton alive. Do you understand? Alive. He's my destiny.
They all stare at her.
Sorry, not really helping, is it?
Chris observes Markham and Layton through the binoculars, then sees Shaz being held by the huge guy.
Shaz, I've had it.
Chris! Chris, you bloody idiot!
Shit. Right, this is the A-team. We're going in.
Chris stands alone.
This is the police! You're surrounded!
Markham's goons open fire on Chris, who leaps and stumbles. Bullets whiz past him, ricocheting off the ground.
Hunt, do you read me? Hunt, do you read me? What the hell's going on? Over!
Chris prances, frantically dodging the gunfire whilst trying to shoot back. Crates and barrels splinter and spark as they get showered in bullets. He leaps to safety behind a stack of metal barrels. Holding his gun with both hands, arms straight like arrows, Ray shoots back. Jean strafes to his right, firing his cannon-like revolver, dust kicking up at his feet. Layton carries Shaz away, and Markham runs to the green car. Ray and Jean duck for cover. As the car reverses, Jean fires a single shot. The bonnet springs up and white steam billows out from the bullet hole.
Hunt, do you read me? Hunt, do you read me? B-team to the A-team. Do you read me?
All teams, they're heading your way on foot.
Go, go,
Drake,
go!
The A-team are cut off. Even I can't walk on water. Keep Layton in sight, but do nothing.
Here. Come on!
Alex pursues Layton as he takes Shaz at gunpoint to a derelict building site beside the river at Tower Bridge.
I'm so
excited. Layton! No trouble, Shaz. Hello again, Arthur. So, what happened?
Look, this is my show. You try and follow me and I'll kill her. Yeah?
This isn't your show, Arthur.
it's mine.
I'm running this!
I have to reclaim my destiny, Arthur. Somehow, I'm going to stop you and go home.
What's she talking about?
I'm facing up to you. I'm strong enough.
Please, Mum, please.
I'm strong enough to wake up.
Oi, Drake, the A-team are back in business.
Ray, Jean and Chris fly around the corner in a speedboat with the wind in their hair, sunglasses on and Tower Bridge behind them. Jean cocks his machine gun and Ray gives a confident smirk. Leighton begins to panic as they pull up in the boat.
You tell him to go fishing or I'll blow her brains out.
Stay back! I need Leighton alive!
Drake! Nobody stares at me, you know that. Nobody stares at me! He's staring!
You are under arrest for drug trafficking, abduction, and for shooting me in the head!
Leighton flies backwards in a hail of bullets from Jean's machine gun.
There'll be no more drug addicts made here, Leighton.
You told me you had an empire going back in the day. Well, you've had your day. You're under arrest. He's under arrest! He's under arrest!
She looks up to the sky as she screams, then knees the injured Leighton in the stomach.
What was that? Back there in the speedboat with the machine gun. Was that you being cool?
Pardon his bloody moi. I just saved your life!
You may have stopped me getting back. I was supposed to face this alone!
Listen, body knickers. You were seconds away from death just now. It's a nasty, vicious, messed up world out there, lady, but if you listen to me, you just might get through it. Right, here goes. You were right, okay, about Leighton. You have a knack of knowing how folk tick. Psychiatry.
It's psychology!
Same thing!
I wanted to go home.
Your presence is required just a little bit longer around here. By me.
Shaz is sitting in Jean's car.
You all right?
Okay, yeah. You?
All in the day's work?
Yeah. Chris?
What?
She throws her arms around Chris. Ray shakes his head. Suddenly, Chris notices something and runs off after it. Markham is fleeing the scene, clutching a bundle of small white packages.
Oi, scumbag.
Oh, don't make me laugh. Look, there are chaps that can pull the trigger and chaps who can't, and you... Oh! Oh, you shove my bloody toes off!
I'm not nervous.
Oh,
I'm just cautious.
Idiot!
I thought I was going to die, Mum.
Well, you're still here, Shaz. And so am I.
I saw my life passing in front of my eyes. They say that, don't they? Before you die, you see all the mistakes you've ever made in that last moment, somewhere between life and death.
Alex is haunted by Shaz's words. Later, at Luigi's apartment, Alex is fiddling with her police radio.
Thank you for joining us. Hope you'll be with us tomorrow. Good night.
It worked for him. Why won't it work for me?
Go to sleep.
Polly?
You've just been shot. A second ago. You're lying on the wet ground. Don't fight to wake up. It'll hurt too much.
The Piero's on the TV. He speaks with Molly's voice.
You'll never make it to her party.
I'm so
sorry.
All those memories.
A car explodes. The television flickers back to the BBC Globe. Alex is on her hands and knees, touching the screen with wet fingers.
But it doesn't have to hurt.
The TV switches off. Alex is distraught.
My name is Alex Drake. I've just been shot, and that bullet has sent me back to 1981. I may be 1 second away from life, or 1 second away from death. They say that as you die, your life flashes before you. All those memories and mistakes that form us. Well, bring it on. My life can flash away as much as it likes because I am not going to die. I'm coming back to you, Molly.
Alex is speaking into a dictaphone in front of a mirror. She closes her eyes and blows a kiss. Molly jumps and catches the kiss and holds it to her chest. Gene's sitting alone in his office. Only the lights above his desk remain on. The rest of the room is shrouded in darkness. He glances at a photo of Sam Tyler on his notice board, then downs a drink and takes a drag on a cigarette. He puts on his jacket and leaves the office. Alex walks into Luigi's restaurant wearing a red off-the-shoulder top. Beneath a tacky mural of iconic 80s celebrities, Ray is chatting up a blonde woman. Luigi's behind the bar, cleaning glasses, looking tired. In a secluded corner, Chris and Shaz are chatting by candlelight.
Hey, what is it?
Luigi's face lights up when Alex approaches. She takes a seat, and Jean walks up behind her, places a glass in front of her, and pours red wine right to the brim. She seems to appreciate the gesture. Jean walks off without speaking a word, sits next to the mural, and lights a cigarette. Alex looks over at him and gives a weak smile. She takes a drink from the full glass without lifting it from the bar and stares into space with a reflective expression on her face. To